Does anybody have any testimonies from the past couple weeks? Mary Margaret, please join us. Yeah, give it up for Mary Margaret.
I go to a public school, and their words hurt me a lot. And so one day I just prayed to God, and the word stopped, and it was like all the way up here, and now it stopped.
That's so cool. That's really cool how God protects us. And what's really cool is that, like, God loves us so much, and no one can ever take away how God sees us. So even if people are mean to you, you just got to know, like, I know that God made me awesome, so I don't care what you say. All right, so anybody else, any other testimonies? Come on, come on.
So, I don't know, I can't remember if it was this week or last week, but we were doing the pacer test. And if anyone's ever done the pacer test, it's not fun. So I don't know if she blacked out or passed out or just fell. But someone, yeah, they fell or blacked out. And I just prayed that she was okay and that she got up and, like, about a second or so later, she was fine, but she still went to the nurse.
That's awesome. That's so cool. We do not have to keep prayer out of our schools, right? We need to be praying in our schools, so that's awesome. All right, two more. Any guys? Oh, all the way in the back. What's up? Come on up. Yeah, Aaron. It's really hard to see back there. Sorry.
So, Tuesday, we did Light the Night at our house, and we started at about 5 or 6 o'clock, and my sister was downstairs in the garage, like, getting everything ready, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I was just up in my room doing whatever, and then I felt, I was watching this one video, and I just felt this strong feeling, like a wave of emotions, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit had just come down on me. And then, since we only had 3 kids for Light the Night, my mom said, hey, BCC is doing Trunk or Treat, why don't we go and do that? So we went and did that. My twin sisters had a great time, and afterwards, I was just so much better than I was before, and I went home, and I just prayed, and I'm like, thank you, God. So...
that's really cool. God can turn any day around. All right, we'll do one more. All the way in the back. Shelby. Wait. Okay, I heard Shelby. Sorry.
Okay, so, like, Friday or Saturday, my cousin, he's, like, 8, I think. He's 8 or 7, I don't remember. But he had a seizure, and it was, like, really bad. And because his mom and his little sister, they were, like, all sleeping and stuff, and then while they were sleeping, he had a seizure, and it woke up his little sister, and then, like, their mom wasn't awake until, like, a couple minutes later, and it was, like, really bad, and his mouth was foaming and stuff, and, like, it was bad, and then he had to go to the hospital, and they don't know what happened, like, why. They think it might be because of a video game with, like, the flashing lights, but... and I've just been praying a lot, and then he went to the doctor, and they said that they don't know why, but it was, like, it shouldn't happen again, so, like, I'm really happy for that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Hey, what's your friend's name? My cousin, sorry, yeah. Adrian? All right, can we pray for him real quick? All right, God, sorry, what's up? Did someone have something to say? All right, God, I pray, Lord, for Adrian. God, I pray, Lord, that whatever happened, God, whatever's going on, Lord, that you would touch his body. God, I pray, Lord, that even though the doctor said this is going to stop, God, it's up to you, God. You declare that it's going to stop, God, that his body is yours, God. And I pray, Lord, that he would not have seizures anymore. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless his body, God, and heal him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we have a really, really awesome speaker today, and most of you probably don't know her. Just kidding. It's Mickey Graff from the kids' department. Come on up.
All right. Okay, I'm glad I stood back there for a little bit because I could see the back of the heads, and I actually knew who most of you are. And now with the lights, I can't tell who you are. So I probably know you guys. I'm Mickey Graff. If you've been here at Glad Tidings, See, you're in 6th to 8th grade. If you've been here at Glad Tidings for a year to 3 years, you've probably been back in kids ministry, and I have had a part in watching you grow. I heard that you guys have been talking about encounter, equip, and engage. Is that right? Encounter, equip, and engage. Okay, I want to ask you, what does encounter mean? I haven't been here for all this. What is encounter? Somebody. How many of you have been listening? All right, don't tell JD that you haven't been listening. Okay, what does encounter mean? Sal, Lujane. Encounter God or experience God face to face. Awesome. Yes, very, very important. Equip. What does equip mean? Is there a guy over here that remembers equip? All right. Is that Isaac? Isaac? Okay. Praying for people and doing things that for God? Is that what you said? All right. And so the last thing you talked about is engage, apparently, right? Engage. And I think your emanate, create last week was kind of engaging. Is that correct? And today I heard that we're going to kind of talk about engaging your world through serving at church. I'm just going to ask a question just kind of to start. How many of you in this room are on a serving team here at Glad Tidings? Oh my goodness, it looks like you guys might have already heard my message. But that's awesome. That's awesome. And you know what? There's some of you who maybe you haven't even thought about yet what God's role is for your life. And that's all right, because you're 6th to 8th grade, you're just learning. But I want to tell you something that's hugely important for engaging, and especially here if this is your church, which I'm guessing most of you aren't visitors, all right? If this is your church or your family, then you have a responsibility to have a part in helping the family do the things it needs to do just to survive, all right? How many of you at home have at least one thing that you have to do for the family that, like, you didn't mess up? All right. Awesome. Let me ask you this. How many of you enjoy doing it? Okay, not near as many hands as I first saw. I'm going to read a couple things today because we're talking about this, and I'll just remind you, you're not little kids, so I'm not going to treat you like little kids. But when I'm talking, unless I ask you to respond, I am the only one talking. And I think you already know that, so I'm just reminding you. All right, if you have your Bible, I want you to open it up to 1 Peter 4. All right, that is way towards the end. Okay, 1 Peter 4, and I'm going to read from 7 to 10, and I'm so glad I brought my glasses with these lights. I'm looking like a grandma today. All right, 1 Peter 4, 7. It says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality," that means bringing people in and making them feel welcome, "to each other without grumbling. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with all the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory and the powers forever and ever. Amen." All right? This reminds me a lot about what we talk about here at Glad Tidings. This is the process to becoming spiritually healthy. At church, have you ever heard the phrase connect, grow, and what's the last one? Connect, grow, serve. All right? Connect, grow, serve. You connect with God in the services. You grow through small groups, which you are all doing right now. But listen, part of your spiritual growth is to serve. All right? And God didn't just tell us to do this. He actually was an example of this in his own life when Jesus was here on earth. All right? I'm going to tell you a little bit just about my story, and I only have 15 minutes, so I'm going to be kind of fast today. But when I was growing up, my dad was a senior pastor of a pretty large church. It's actually a bit bigger than Glad Tidings here. And my mom, believe it or not, was the kids director. Now, that has no bearing whatsoever on the fact that I'm the kids director, because I had no idea whatsoever that that's where God was leading me. But when I was growing up, I have four brothers. I was the only girl. And you know what I got to do every Saturday? No, it was actually something a lot more fun than that. But just as important, my mom and dad, our church, when you served on a ministry team, you were at church at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings. And from 8 to 9, we prayed. And from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock, I went to a meeting to grow spiritually. And at 10 o'clock every single day of my life, from when I was about 11 years old till I moved out and went to college, from 10 to noon, I got to go door to door, knocking on people's door and saying, "Hey, my name is Mickey Rothwell." It was Rothwell. "And I am from First Assembly of God. And we have a bus that comes on your corner. And we would like to know, do you have any kids that maybe aren't doing anything tomorrow morning?" And I would get to talk to neighbors. I had an adult with me when I was younger. And as I got older, I got to do it kind of myself. And every single week, I got to go and talk to people and invite them to church, because I was in the bus ministry. And we would bus kids in. We had about 500 kids that came on Sunday morning to our elementary, like our up kids. There were about 500 kids that came. We only had one service. And we would bus them in. It was huge. When I was 13 years old, I got my own bus. I was the bus captain. 13. Now, I had, yeah. So how many of you in here are 13? All right. Or 14 or 15. You're older. That means that you would be out on Saturday and you would be the one in charge of the bus. And there were anywhere from 15 to 25 kids that would ride on my bus. But you know what? They didn't give me the job of being a bus captain just because I finally hit 13. They gave it to me because my mom and dad had instilled in me this verse from when I was little. And I understood that serving was a part of my spiritual growth. And it wasn't just that my mom and dad had to force me. When I was younger, I had to come along. But I suddenly realized that if I wanted to grow in my spiritual life, it had nothing to do with my dad being a pastor. It had nothing to do with my mom being a kids director. It had everything to do with how much was I becoming more like Jesus himself. And I want to tell you right now, those habits of serving that my mom and dad instilled when I was little were huge, okay? They were huge because I began to grow. As important as connecting with God in the service, reading our Bible and praying, being in small groups and being accountable to someone else, serving the body of Christ because you are part of this family is as important for your spiritual growth. And it's something that if you don't learn when you're here in junior high, guess what? God's going to keep reminding you when you go to high school. If you don't learn it when you're in high school, God's going to start teaching you when you're an adult. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to say, "Oh my goodness, God has been trying to teach me this for a long time. I have great news." Let's catch it when you're in 6th to 8th grade, and then you can grow and God will be able to start developing skills in you. There is no way I would be the kids director here at Glad Tidings if long time ago God hadn't started teaching me how to be a servant in small areas. It didn't start with just being a bus captain. I used to help in the nursery. I used to help in preschool. I used to come and get to clean up the rooms all the time during the week. And it became a habit. And here's how God says we need to serve. Ephesians 6:7. It doesn't just say you do it because you have to. Listen to how God says we're supposed to serve. Ephesians 6:7 says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men." What does the word wholeheartedly mean? Anybody? Right here. What does the word wholeheartedly mean? You fully want to do it, and it's your choice. So when we serve, let's just go back to the example of being at home. We serve wholeheartedly. What is a chore that you might do at home? Play with your lizard? Okay. You can play with your lizard. That sounds like something that you would have to do. What's something that you have to do at home? Laundry. How many of you like to do laundry? No. What's something over here? Right there. Is it? I can't see who you are. Right there. Yes, with a sucker in your mouth. All right. What do you have to do at home? What is something that you do at home serving your family? Vacuum the house. Do you like doing it? No. Do you serve wholeheartedly when you're vacuuming? You do. All right. What? One more right here. What, Miss Fern, what is something that you have to do at home? Washing the dishes. These all sound like jobs. You know what a job at my house that everybody just loves? No, picking up the dog poop. Picking up the dog poop. I have a big dog. It has to be done. How many of you would like to serve wholeheartedly doing that job? All right. Let me tell you something. When God says serve wholeheartedly, that means you do it with a cheerful attitude. You don't complain. You don't do this, which I have heard so many people say, just a minute. Have you ever said that when somebody's asked you to do something home? Just a minute. Is that serving wholeheartedly? All right, let me ask you this. Instead of your mom or your dad or your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, grandpa, whoever you live with asking you to do a chore, what if Jesus were in your house and he asked you to go fold all the laundry? Would you say, just a minute? Would you do it grumbling all the way downstairs to the washing machine? Listen to this verse. It says serve wholeheartedly, but it doesn't stop there. It says serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. That means it doesn't matter if you're at home doing something, serving that part of your family, or if you're here at Glad Tidings. You need to find what is it that God has for you here, and you don't do it because Miss Mickey said you had to. You are doing it wholeheartedly, but you are doing it as unto the Lord. That's Jesus saying, hey, I need you to serve this family and with a great attitude. Listen to how Jesus served. In John 13, 12 to 17, he didn't just tell us. This is how Jesus actually served. John 13, 12 to 17. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. This is Jesus. He said, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. All right, and I want to tell you, okay, sounds like Bible times, washing feet. How many of you would like to wash the feet of the person next to you? And you've got shoes and socks on. I mean, how many of you like to do that? Let me tell you what washing feet in the Bible sounded like. All right. They didn't have tennis shoes and socks. Some of them may or may not have worn shoes. They wore sandals. They didn't have nice paved roads. All right. And they didn't have somebody coming and picking up the dog poop or the cows or the goats or the horses or anything else that walked down the same street that you walked. All right. Jesus went in there and he said, I'm not asking you to serve wholeheartedly and doing it as unto me, something that I wouldn't do. He says, listen, one of the most disgusting things that somebody could actually have to do is to wash the feet of somebody who had just walked down the roads of Jerusalem, because the animals had been down that road. People had been down that road. That's why they took their shoes off. That's why they even washed feet, because they would trample that stuff into the house. Feet were not clean. And Jesus said, listen, I'm not just telling you something that I wouldn't do myself. I'm going to take the lowest thing that could possibly be done, and I'm going to serve you. This is God serving them. And he went to their feet, and he took up a bowl, and he washed whatever was on their feet, that the horses had left, the dust and everything, and he was a servant. In fact, the Bible even talks about how some of the disciples said that they were not even worthy of allowing Jesus to wash their feet because they understood that he was serving them in the lowest capacity that there was, and he was being an example. Here's what God's saying. He's saying, you know what? I have given you, God is saying, I've given you many, many talents. And when you connect, grow, serve is one of the areas that he is asking you to look at yourself and say, what has God given me that is a gift for this family? What can I do to help this family of Glad Tidings, this place where I have decided is my home? What can I do to help everybody else? All right. And I know a lot of times you instantly think of things like this. Everybody wants to be the worship leader or the drummer, or I want to be on the stage with the lights. Is that how Jesus did it? No, he went and said, you know what? I'm going to do the jobs that nobody else wanted to do. And I'm not here today to say that's the job for you. I'm saying, listen, there are jobs here at church that God wants to use to help you to grow spiritually. All right? There are lots of them. And it might be that you can sing and God has that job for you. But there are other jobs. There are jobs like picking up the trash after people left the auditorium and getting it back so that when a visitor comes, there's not leftover paper or coffee cups in their seat. There are jobs like walking down the hallway. Let me tell you, I think I do this 100 times every Sunday. And I see something on the trash and I pick it up on the ground. I pick it up and I throw it away. Somebody didn't notice they dropped it because this is God's house. And I want to be a servant and make sure that this place is neat and tidy so that when somebody walks in this building, their only thought is, how can I meet Jesus today? Not I'm walking over someone's trash. There are things that I believe, and I'll just talk a minute about kids ministry. This is one of the most important things that I think that could ever happen to me. This is, you know, this is me speaking, but this is one of the most important ministries because we are training up kids so that when they get to this place, they know who Jesus is. And when life starts to get tough, they've already understood that they are loved by their Father. And that can happen in the nursery. I was telling somebody yesterday, she was talking about coming into the nursery, and I said, this is one of the most important places where you can be because everybody thinks it's babysitting. But let me tell you, when you hold that baby, I go in there sometimes and I'll just get to sit down and hold the baby and I just start praying, you know, God, this little baby has a purpose. They aren't here accidentally. And God, I want to start praying for whoever this person's going to marry someday, wherever that husband or that wife is, you know, 25 years from now, God, make sure that they're in a place right now where somebody is praying over them so that when they come together, they are in unity and they are serving the Lord and they are men and women of God. Those prayers are not wasted times. Sitting in that nursery and praying over that kids is important. When you're over here in preschool and those little two-year-olds come in and maybe they don't have a dad. Okay, that's maybe 50% of those kids that come in there. They don't have a dad and they're coming in and they don't even understand what God the Father means because there is no father in their life. Do you know how important it is that when they come in this place, they understand that God loves them? It's not going to happen if somebody's not doing it. And that might look like sitting on the floor and playing Legos. That might look like holding a little boy as they scream and yell because mom just dropped him off and they don't want to be there. Maybe it's scraping up Play-Doh out of the carpet that they got ground in there. You know what? Maybe it's changing a diaper. It does, you know, listen though. Those kids need to understand God's love. And when they go into Up Kids, man, they need to experience and know what it's like to worship. Sometimes they don't want to come. They don't want to sing the songs because they want to look cool next to their friends. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about because most of you just left there. But you know what? It isn't about looking cool. You know what they think is cool? Seeing a seventh grader or an eighth grader with their hands raised worshiping God because they understand that they need to say thank you to God and love them. And when they see that, suddenly it doesn't matter what the fourth grader sitting next to them is doing because a seventh grader has their hands raised. God has a purpose for you here in this family, all right? And I want you guys to think about what that might look like because just like at your home you need to help serve, this is your church home. And this body needs you to do your part. And God says, do not do it grumbling or complaining, and don't do something that I wouldn't do. He says, do it wholeheartedly as if unto him. All right? So we have a lot of opportunities for you guys to serve. Kids ministry, I think, is one of the best places for you guys to learn about serving. If you're in sixth grade, you can start in serving in Grow Kids. All right? If you're in sixth grade, you have to serve one whole year in Grow Kids before you can go to Up Kids. Because when you're in Up Kids, if somebody is almost the same age as you, they're not going to listen. So we're giving you an opportunity to be somewhere where the kids love you, okay? They love you. Sixth grade can serve in Grow Kids. Seventh and eighth grade can serve in Grow Kids. Or they can be on Pastor Isaiah's team and serve upstairs in Up Kids. But there is an opportunity for you guys to start finishing the process, connecting with God in our service, growing right here in small group, and serving on a ministry team. So I'm talking to you about kids ministry, but I think there's somebody else that was coming and talking to you about another place. And it is just as important, okay? And it's really more like what Jesus was exemplifying in serving in the place where, you know what, maybe everybody doesn't want to do it, but this is where Jesus said to start. So I don't know if Laura is here. I don't want to talk for Laura, so I'm going to let her do that. But while we're waiting for Laura, then I'm going to hand something out to you guys, okay? And I do not want you to take one of these unless this is the place for you. And if you're already serving in kids ministry, then you don't need to fill one of these out. But what this is a ministry team card. It simply says, I am interested in knowing more about how I could get on a kids ministry team. It doesn't mean you're signing up to be on a kids ministry team. It means that I or one of my team leaders are going to contact you and say, hey, what are you thinking? When are you available? I'll just tell you, you cannot serve in kids ministry during the 9:30 service. Not an option, because you need to be here in small groups, all right? But you can serve on our 8 o'clock team, or you can serve on our 11:15 team, and we have lots of areas for you guys to serve. I'm going to have some of these cards. In fact, I'm just going to hand them. If you're on a team, you don't need to take one, so we might not need that many. But if you're interested in knowing more about it, take one and then pass them back around. There's more up here if we run out. But I want to collect those later, and then I'm going to be talking to you about what that looks like. But I am excited, because let me tell you something. I would not trade those years of serving in kids ministry when I was younger for anything. And back then, I had no idea that God was going to put me on a team with kids ministry. I was in a totally different direction going where I really believed God wanted me. And I went to Bible college, and I was serving on a team. I used to sing quite a bit. So I was on all these other teams, but God just kind of changed the path that he had me going. And I am so thankful that I sat down and I prayed about it, and I said yes, because I am exactly where God wants me. And I love doing what he's asked us to do. And you guys can be there too. Every single thing you do from here on out is another step in getting to where God has you in life. And you don't want to miss those steps.
Give it up for Mickey. Thank you so much for speaking. So I think Laura was supposed to talk, but I'll just talk real quick. So Laura is the head of maintenance around here, and she is awesome. Does anybody know her? Laura rocks. Like, seriously, she does so much work. If someone's not working, she'll just work like an 80-hour week. Like, she'll do whatever God needs her to do. And what's really cool is, like, she runs maintenance, and, like, that's not glorious work. Like, that, like, you don't, like, everybody wants to be on the stage, but maintenance is so important. Like, she cleans up things. She moves things around. And if Laura wasn't doing her job, then this church wouldn't be able to function. Like, no one would set up the rooms. Like, these chairs, thanks to Laura and the maintenance team, right? So, like, there's an opportunity, like, for you guys to help flip rooms with Laura, to help pick up the church, to help pick up signs outside. And so there's more opportunities to serve, and I hope we can have her talk about that again. But even though sometimes, like, serving doesn't look, like, super cool and, like, you don't get recognition, it's very important. Just think about, like, how many rewards there are in heaven for the people that pick up trash or, like, flip rooms. Like, it's a big deal. So sign up, fill out those cards if you want to serve in kids ministry, and then turn them in to a leader, and then we will get you serving. All right, let's break up into small groups, but I'm going to pray. God, oh, here's Laura. Hey, Laura. Everybody say hi to Laura. Laura.
Hi, Pastor. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm playing two people today. So I looked at my clock and went, oh, I'm supposed to be down there. I know Mickey talked to you all about serving. And if children's is not a place that you feel right for you to serve, maintenance has a great opportunity to be serving the house. Like, after you guys are done, and this is really easy, on Sundays, getting this room flipped around for the next event. It is a huge help to have you guys do that. So if anybody's interested in that, let one of your leaders know, and we'll get the ball rolling, okay? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. You're awesome. All right, I'm going to pray, and then we'll break up into small groups. God, thank you, Lord, so much for talking to us today about serving, God. There's an opportunity for every single one of us to serve at this church, God. It's so important that we're serving, God, using the gifts you've given us, God. God, helping this house, God, helping people to grow, God, through us ourselves serving, God, and just doing something. And even if it doesn't look glorious or even if it's not super cool, God, I pray, Lord, you'd show us where we need to serve, God. I pray we do that and serve wholeheartedly, God, wanting to do it, God, wanting to do even some of the work that other people don't want to do, God. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities. Thank you for this message. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Yeah. All right, let's get into small groups.